really find yourself telling the story, relating it, as if you're talking to one person. And I've always thought that's the best way to write.
I think I do not enunciate in my normal speech. So it was a real learning curve to learn how to say every syllable of every word.
My favorite thing about recording an audiobook is that I don't have to look presentable. Because everywhere else, I am Dr. K. I need to wear a suit.
Welcome to This is the Author, where authors talk about narrating their audiobooks.
In this episode, meet CNN anchor and chief national security analyst Jim Sciutto, journalist Megan Kimball, and psychiatrist Dr. Alok Kanuja. Hear what inspired these authors to write their books, how they prepared to record their audiobooks, and what most surprised them about the recording process. Plus, find out who loves to listen to spy novels on audio. Enjoy!
Hi, this is Jim Sciutto, author of The Return of Great Powers, Russia, China, and the Next World War. I wrote my book because I found myself in Ukraine at the start of the Russian invasion, and having covered Russia and Ukraine and China as well, and all the places the U.S. and its allies come face to face with Russia and China, it struck me that the invasion, once those tanks started rolling across the border, the bombs, the missiles started falling on Kyiv and elsewhere, that this was different. This was a clean break with the period that I'd really grown up in, which was the end of the last Cold War, the post-Cold War peace or near peace between the U.S. and the world, really, at least on a grand scale, that this was the end of it. This was the largest war in Europe since World War II. It was bloody, it was brazen, it was aggressive. Russia was challenging so much, breaking so much by rolling those tanks across the border. And it struck me that I had to do my best to explain that, to connect the dots for people, to say this wasn't isolated, that what we'd grown used to was over, and we had to be prepared for it. As I say in the book, this is a 1939 moment. If I had to describe what it was like to record my audiobook in one word, that word would be satisfying. And the reason is, by reading out loud, you really find yourself telling the story, relating it, as if you're talking to one person. And I've always thought that's the best way to write, whether it's a TV news story or a book or a news article. Imagining you're saying it, making that argument, or relating those details, those facts, those stories to someone sitting across from you in a way that they can understand, find interesting, and that it might move them. And when you read a book out loud, you hear yourself doing that, and you imagine yourself, or at least I do, doing exactly that. It's a great exercise. And it's also a very close reading of your book, so you get a sense of whether you like it or not. And reading it out loud, I kind of felt like this isn't bad. There are a lot of foreign names in this book, in different languages, all over the world. And I really want to get those right. I think it's a matter of respect, maybe in no small part, because I've got a name that can be easily mispronounced. But I've traveled a lot, and I think that not only knowing the language of a place makes a difference in terms of connecting with people there and showing respect for where you are and interest in where you are. So as part of that, you really want to get the names right when you do. And there were a couple times I had to go back and double check that or give a couple goes at it to get it right, and I hope I did. I'm excited for listeners to hear what it's like on the ground, on the front lines, sometimes literally or figuratively, but on the ground, on the front lines of this conflict, this interaction between the great powers. In some places, there is war there, such as in Ukraine. In other places, there's the fear, the prospect of war, like on the Penghu Islands in Taiwan. And one thing I wanted to do with this book, and one reason I went to these places and spent so much time there, is I wanted to bring readers there so that they can hopefully see and hear and imagine what it's like to be right in the middle of it. The fear, the upset, the loss, the nervousness, And at times the hope, right? Because there is hope. I don't want to eliminate that. So I feel like got that across or tried my best to get that across in Ukraine and Taiwan on that ship, those ships in the Baltic Sea. And I hope that gives people a sense of exactly what this means, that this is not theoretical. This is real. I've done audiobooks before, and it strikes me that the secret is to be different from my day job of talking like a news reporter or an anchor, because you are literally inside someone's head when you're doing an audiobook, and you don't want to be talking at them. You want to be talking to them in a way that's relatable, hopefully relaxing to some degree, so folks can listen and enjoy it. And that takes just amping down a little bit. Tea is key, I will tell you that, and particularly throat coat tea, because it just keeps your voice from getting raspy. But also just finding a comfortable space, taking your time, taking breaks, and thinking about what you're saying, not just mechanically spitting it out. That makes a real difference, I think. You know what? If I had to record this again, and I might do this next time, kind of regret I didn't do it this time, is bring one of my kids in for one of the recording days. One, because I want to share with them what the process is like. And I think, what better storytelling do we all do if we have kids than the stories we tell our kids? Those are some of my favorite moments, and it's storytelling so important. Establish connection and hopefully impart some lessons. Share your experiences. My kids will always ask me, they're like, hey, what was it like in Ukraine during the war? What do people say when you go here? And yeah, next time I'm definitely bringing one of my kids. If I wasn't going to record my audiobook, I would ask Morgan Freeman. I mean, I just love his voice. He's got such presence when you hear things he does. And I know he's probably the most sought-after narrator in the world, so probably would be a big ask. But when you hear what he does, it makes you want to listen, calms you down, has weight, has gravitas, accessible. That would be great. So I'll ask him for the next one. I listen to loads of audiobooks. In fact, most of my reading is by audiobook. That's partly just a function of having kids. You know, anytime I open a book, I usually fall asleep right away because it's usually late at night. So I listen to audiobooks, particularly when I'm going for runs. And it's really zen for me to listen to them, just to hear stories. And I will say, I really loved the audiobook editions of all the John le Carré spy novels. And they're done by actors, I think, different ones, can't recall their names. Just great at telling those stories. It's almost like an old radio serial, you know, parents used to listen to on the radio. And I really loved listening to those. And the best ones, of course, can distinguish between the characters, men, women, old, young, accents, and so on, to give you a sense that each one is different and help convey those different personalities. But I love listening to spy novels in audio form. Well, like I said, I run a lot, and running with an audiobook is just great for me. It just allows me to relax, kind of forget the pounding knees or the hard miles or when you get tired, because you have a story to kind of keep you interested. A little bit of distraction, also a little heart rate management, kind of chills you out, chills me out at least, and allows me just to sort of escape the rhythm and the pace and the annoyance sometimes of constant breaking news. I much prefer audiobooks, particularly fiction or narrative nonfiction, to, say, even listening to news-related podcasts, just because audiobooks, they give me a break from all that. And now please listen to a clip from my audiobook. The mood among senior leadership in the Pentagon was apprehensive. It was early November 2021, and alarm bells were going off in Eastern Europe to a degree that seasoned officers had not witnessed in decades. I called one of my most reliable military sources to check in, and like a doctor about to deliver a troubling medical diagnosis, he told me to sit down before he delivered his warning. Pay attention to Russia and Ukraine.
Hi, this is Megan Kimball, author of City Limits: Infrastructure, Inequality, and the Future of America's Highways. I started writing my book in 2020. I was at the time working at the Texas Observer, which is a nonprofit magazine based in Austin. And I had been writing about housing and sprawl, specifically the city of Austin's effort to update its land development code, which has not been updated since 1984. City Council was in the midst of considering a comprehensive overhaul, very contentious, a lot of neighborhood fights. And I wrote a big story about it for the Texas Observer, looking at how the lack of density in the city had really forced people as Austin boomed further and further onto the fringes of the city, forcing them to drive long distances to get to school and work. So I wrote that story, and then a few months later, in April of 2020, the Texas Transportation Commission allocated $4 billion to expand I-35. And to me, those felt like the same story, that people were not making the connection between a massive highway expansion in the middle of Austin and the lack of affordable housing and available housing in the city. And so I started looking into highway expansions across the state. I found out that there was a massive highway expansion planned in Houston. There was a removal option on the table in the city of Dallas. And so I was kind of marinating on all this and sort of loosely thinking about a book, but it didn't quite have a structure yet. And then in the summer of 2020, George Floyd was murdered by police in Minneapolis. And in Austin, like in many cities, people protested. So they gathered outside Austin Police Department's headquarters, which is on the I-35 frontage road, right at 8th. Thousands of people showed up, and eventually they took over the highway. So protesters poured onto I-35, which passes through Minneapolis, and they stopped traffic on the interstate. And I saw this unfolding in my home, just, you know, a couple miles north, and thought, I have to go see this. And so I went down there, and it was this incredible scene, very moving, of protesters on the highway and police in their riot gear lining the interstate, trying to get people off the interstate. And I had this sort of light bulb moment. I knew at that point that I-35 had been built on East Avenue, which is the street that segregated Austin. And I-35 today remains a very powerful symbol of segregation and racism. And then as I continued to do research, I realized that highway expansions were responsible for an enormous amount of our greenhouse gas emissions. In Texas, as in every state in the U.S., transportation is the leading contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. So I was motivated to write this both from a sense of the past injustice and racism of these highways when they were built and the ongoing environmental devastation that is caused by their existence and indeed expansion. If I had to describe what it was like to record my audiobook in one word, that word would be enunciate. And that's because I think I do not enunciate in my normal speech. So it was a real learning curve to learn how to say every syllable of every word. I learned how to pronounce some words for the first time that I've been saying wrong my entire life. One of them is opaque. I thought that it was opaque. The other thing I learned is that I often drop syllables on words that are in the past tense. So instead of named, I say name. But my director was really wonderful at pointing those out. My favorite section to record was a chapter about a preschool on the I-35 frontage road called Escuelita del Alma. It was my favorite chapter to report. To report that chapter, I spent a day at Escuelita del Alma, really just hovering in the back of a classroom, watching children learn and go about their day. And it was very moving to me to see this space that was so carefully crafted to caretake these children and to educate them be threatened by this highway expansion, realizing that it would disrupt the lives of 200 families, not to mention, you know, the owners of the school who have worked very hard over two decades to keep this place open. And to me, that really captures the stakes of the book. It's not just about people losing their homes. It's not just about past racism. It's about the kind of future that we're leaving for our children. I prepared for the audiobook recording by reading a lot out loud. The book is dedicated to my dad, Jeff Kimball. I read parts of this book to him and another novel to him, and reading out loud was a great learning opportunity. My amazing director, Stacy Snell, mentioned before we recorded throat comfort tea, and I think I went through two boxes of it while recording, so I would recommend tea. If I wasn't going to record my audiobook, I would cast Michelle Obama. The last audiobook I listened to that I loved was Empire of Pain by Patrick Radden Keefe. I love Patrick Radden Keefe as a journalist, but he is also an amazing narrator. And I actually listened to a few chapters of that book before I came to record my audiobook to be inspired. My favorite place to listen to audiobooks is in my car. I think I drove almost 15,000 miles to report this book, and so I had a lot of time to listen to audiobooks in the car. And now, listen to a clip from my audiobook. In the summer of 2019, Modesty Cooper went to the post office and checked her mail for the first time in months. She'd been living abroad for more than a decade, working as a civilian contractor for the U.S. military, moving from Kuwait to Afghanistan to Iraq, wherever the mission was. At work, she supported the military's technological capabilities, installing specialized software, revamping operating systems, recovering data, writing new computer programs. In her time off, she traveled to Dubai, South Africa, Sweden, and collected art and souvenirs that she mailed back to Houston.
Hi, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, and the author of How to Raise a Healthy Gamer. I wrote this book because as I've worked with hundreds, if not thousands, of gamers at this point, I started to think about what is the most impactful thing I could do for them. And I realized that the answer was impossible. It was to travel back in time and actually help their parents. Because what I hear from gamers over and over and over again is that they actually wish that their parents were a little bit more strict, paid a little bit more attention, and set limits in a particular way. So this is a book for parents to prevent all the problems that I try to deal with in my day job. My favorite section to record was the one about other caregivers, because this is a huge problem in my life. So I now have two kids, and the biggest challenge of parenting two young kids is dealing with your parents who are so sure that they know how to raise your kids. But the environment and world that I grew up in is different from the world that my kids are growing up in now. But my parents never seemed to get that. So I'm really excited for people to listen to the section on how to deal with other caregivers, especially grandparents, because that's where my personal frustrations and a tiny slice of trauma really live in the book. I prepared for the audiobook recording first by writing it, and secondly by not getting dressed properly. Like, I didn't shave, I'm in my pajamas, I'm wearing a hoodie. And my favorite thing about recording an audiobook is that I don't have to look presentable. So the degenerate gamer in me that wants to wake up, roll out of bed, have some coffee, and sit down at a computer, I could actually do that for the first time in such a long time. Because everywhere else, I am Dr. K, I'm a physician, I need to wear a suit, I need to have a pressed, clean t-shirt, and I need to shave and fix my hair. But not when recording an audiobook. And now, listen to a clip from my audiobook. When I'm working with parents, parents like you, who have grown increasingly concerned with the direction their kids are headed, the first question most of them ask me is this: is my kid addicted to video games? I mean, they know their child has a problem. Most of them have noticed some changes in their kid's behavior, ones that worry them. Maybe their grades are slipping, they're more isolated than they used to be, they're a little bit more moody. But Dr. K, is this actually an addiction, they ask.
This is The Author is a production of Penguin Random House Audio. Thank you for listening.
For more behind-the-mic content and audiobook recommendations, visit www.penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/nextlisten.